All right, I want you to take your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 5 again, Matthew chapter 5. Tonight we're going to be finishing, God willing, the Beatitudes. So I give you the Beatitudes part number 4 tonight. There's 8 of them, and we've preached on 2 every time we've come to it, and we've preached on 6 of them so far. We come to the final 2 here tonight, Matthew chapter 5. We'll pick up our reading in verse number 3. By the way, our memory verses for the next 4 weeks, starting this past week, in other words, the memory verse that's available for you out there now, that hopefully you're memorizing this week, I'm taking two Beatitudes at a time. In other words, verses 3 and 4 this week, verses 5 and 6 will be next week, 7 and 8 will be the following, and then 9 and 10 will be the following, okay? So just I'm just giving you a little bit of head start there if you want to start memorizing the Beatitudes together. So by the end of that time, hopefully you'll be able to quote from verses 3 at least down to verse number 10, all right? Now, for our reading's sake, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now again, I give you the Beatitudes part number 4. All right, let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us tonight. May you help us as we get to these final 2 Beatitudes. We thank you for how you've met with us thus far in the first 6. And I pray for these last 2 that you'll help us, Lord, to feel your sweet presence. Bless those who are here. Bless those who are listening live. And I pray for the cadet program going on, the nursery ministry going on. We ask that you bless it all. May you be honored in everything that goes on in these grounds. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I remind you that the word blessed here carries the idea of divine joy, carries the idea of perfect happiness or being supremely blessed. It means to have God's smile on your life or to have God's approval on you. Now, this being the case, we've been looking at these Beatitudes in detail. These first 6 that we've already preached on, let me just reach over and tap them on the head as we hurriedly approach the 7th Beatitude. Number 1, Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In other words, blessed are those who realize they're nothing, but God is everything. Number 2, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." In other words, blessed are those who weep and are brokenhearted over sin, whether it be their sin or the sin of the world, anything that breaks the heart of God. Then number 3, we see here that blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This word meek carries the idea of not being revengeful towards self, but being defensive toward God. In other words, you're not willing to defend yourself per se at the drop of a hat, but you're willing to die defending God. Then number 4, we notice blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and we understand that Jesus Christ is our righteousness, which means that we ought to be hungering and thirsting after Him. We ought to be going after Him and whatever pleases Him, whoever He is there. Then number 5, we notice blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In other words, even when somebody does not deserve mercy, if you want to be blessed and be like Jesus, you need to be merciful. We preached on this on Sunday night. You can go back and get it. Then number 6, which is the last thing we preached on, is blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we understand that we're born with our heart black in sin, if you will. Our heart is not clean. We are born in sin. We are born corrupted. And yet the blood of Jesus Christ purifies our heart. And the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. And if you were here Sunday night, I got a blessing from it. I'm telling you, I've just been reveling in it all week, really. Jesus said, if you have a pure heart, you are going to see God. That's a powerful thought. Then we come to Beatitude number 7. Now, again, all of these should be on the website. You can go back and download them if you'd like to hear all those in detail. Then Beatitude number 7, we pick up in verse number 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, in this beatitude, the Lord Jesus says peacemakers are going to be blessed. Now, as we know, there's no peace around the world. There are those who are at war one with another. However, ultimately, there are those who are at enmity with God. In other words, whenever you think of lack of peace today, there are those who do not have peace with God. Then on top of that, there are those who are not at peace with one another. Therefore, the idea comes out here that blessed are those who seek to make peace between man and God and man and man. For instance, what I'm talking about here, first of all, we see that man needs to be at peace with God. Now, we understand that a child of God can have the peace of God, but before you can ever have the peace of God, you've got to have peace with God. That's salvation. I'm telling you, therefore, it's blessed for those who help lost man to make peace with God. This is another way of saying, blessed are those who introduce people to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the Bible says in Isaiah 48, 22, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. However, though, there, right here, even though there's no peace unto the wicked, the precious Lord Jesus has come that all people who are wicked, which included you and included me when we were born, Jesus has come so that wicked man can be at peace with God. So we understand in Ephesians 2, 13 and 14, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 2:12 and 14, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. In other words, when Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, one way that we can apply this is by saying that we know that man is an enemy of God. He is at enmity with God, and only peace with God can settle that issue. And that peace with God only comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, blessed are those who are making peace between man and God. In other words, are you telling people how they can be at peace with God? Then secondly, we understand that man should be at peace with one another. Now, we understand that peace with God highly outweighs peace between man and man. Therefore, blessed are those, now listen to me now, who are at peace with God and then at peace with others in this life. Now, there's some people, I understand, that's not going to let you be at peace with them. I understand all that. But you understand this, that we ought to be striving to help people love each other. You ought to be striving, and I ought to be striving, not to be a troublemaker, but a peacemaker. Now, the fact of the matter is, there are a lot of troublemakers. There are a lot of people who stir up strife. Yet Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. If you're around strife, do you put fuel on the fire or do you put water on it? Are you trying to stir it up more or are you trying to put it out? For instance, now listen to me please, you live in human flesh. I know that is a deep statement, but you are living in human flesh. And you know as well as I know that human flesh thrives on other people's struggles and other people's troubles. I'm not talking about their sicknesses. I'm talking about stuff like this. Hey, did you hear what she said about such and such? Can you believe what happened? Oh, you didn't know? Well, I didn't say a word. I'm talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the stuff where the human flesh and the devil says, gig it a little bit. Let me ask you a question. When you're around somebody at odds with one another, do you help them make peace or do you make it worse? See, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called the children of God. Proverbs 26:20 says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Now, is that still happening today? Do you think there are talebearers today? Let me ask you a question. If you ever hear something in the negative about somebody, what's your flesh tell you to do? In your flesh, what do you want to do? Now, don't look at me like you're... Now, listen, folks. Don't look at me like you're the greatest saint that's ever lived on earth. As soon as you hear something bad, for instance, when my email got hacked, Now, there are some people, I don't know of anybody, but I guarantee you that somebody would look at it and say, hey, did you know the pastor out at Buffalo Ridge is asking people for money? When in reality, they've not checked it out themselves, but they know it's a little bit of, oh, I can grab onto that. Let me see if I can start something. Now, people don't go about saying, let me see if I can start something. You know how they say it? Well, I just want to help this person out. But let me just tell you what happened. Now, I know this is a little bit funny here tonight, but you know that it's still happening. By the way, when something is going on in your life and you're at odds with one another, and somebody may find out about it, what do you want that person to do? You want them to blab it to everybody they know? You know what human beings are? We're hypocrites. Don't mind doing it to them. But you can't believe when somebody does it to you. The fact of the matter is, Jesus is saying this, don't be a troublemaker. Don't stir up strife. My children are in the business of making people at peace with one another, not at strife with one another. The Bible says in Matthew 18:15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. See, that's missing today. A lot of people do this. Well, they're at odds with this person, this, and so on. But instead of going to them to settle it, they go to everybody else and say, can you believe he did this to me? What would you do about it? Why not just go back to the Bible and do what the Bible says? Go between man and man, one-on-one, and hopefully you gain your brother. Romans 12:18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. James 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above. Now, I preached to the book of James, and right before it got to the wisdom from above, It dwelled on the wisdom that's not from above, that's earthly and sensual and devilish. But then it flips and says, but the wisdom that is from above, in other words, that comes from God, is first pure, then peaceable. By the way, what was the beatitude before blessed are the peacemakers? Blessed are the pure in heart. And here, the book of James says, the wisdom that's from above is first pure, then it's peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I'm asking you this question. Are you going out of your way to preserve harmony and avoid a fight? Now, will there come situations where no ifs, ands, or buts about it, you got to fight? Now, I'm not talking about your fists now, folks. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But what I'm saying to you is this. We ought to be in the business of spreading harmony and unity, not dissension. In the church, you know what the devil's going to try to do with this church? A lot of things he's going to try to do with it. But I know one thing he's going to try to do with it. He's going to try to get in somewhere and have somebody start trying to cause dissension, start causing disunity, start causing confusion. Because God says, blessed are the peacemakers. They should be called the children of God. I'm telling you here that we ought to be in the business of not starting fights, but putting them out. An example of this would be in Genesis 13, 8, and 9, where Abraham, he's known as Abram here, it says, and Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I'll go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I'll go to the left. By the way, Lot was the younger one of the two. Abraham had every right, humanly speaking, to say, I don't care what you want, boy. I'm taking this land. Get out of it. But Abraham didn't do that. Abraham said, Lot, don't let there be any strife here. Matter of fact, I'll defer to you. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. That's what Jesus is talking about, my friends. He's talking about being a peacemaker. There was a man one time who lived back in the 4th century. And he felt the Lord leading him to go to Rome. When he went to Rome, he put his possessions in a sack and set out for Rome. And when he arrived in the city, there were people thronging in the streets. He asked these people what all the excitement was about, and he was informed that the gladiators that day would be fighting and killing each other in the Colosseum. It was the day of the games and so on. So he thought to himself, and quoting directly, he said, for 4 centuries after Christ, and they're still killing each other for enjoyment. Just a question mark. This man ran to the Colosseum and heard the gladiators saying, Hail to Caesar, we die for Caesar. And he thought, this isn't right. So this man did something amazing. He jumped over the railing into the arena with the gladiators. And he went to the middle of the field, and he got between 2 gladiators, held up his hands, and said, In the name of Christ, forbear! In other words, stop in the name of Christ. The crowd protested and began to shout, Run him through! Run him through! In other words, kill him, stab him with a sword. A gladiator came over and hit him in the stomach with the back of his sword and knocked him down. This man got up and ran back and again said, In the name of Christ, forbear! The crowd continued to chant, Run him through! Run him through! One gladiator came over and plunged his sword through the little man's stomach, and he fell into the sand, which began to turn crimson with his blood. And one last time, this man gasped out, In the name of Christ, forbear! They say when this happened that a hush came over the 80,000 people in the Colosseum. Soon a man stood and left. Then another one and more. And within minutes, all 80,000 people had emptied out the arena. And it said that it was the last known gladiator contest in the history of Rome. Now you say, Jody, what are you telling me? That I need to go get stabbed to death? That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying too many of us, when there's war that's unnecessary going on, we're up on the stands cheering it on, my friends, instead of being willing to help make peace. Jesus is pleased when somebody's at odds with somebody else. Now, I'm not talking about sticking your nose where it doesn't belong, but I'm saying if you're made aware of it, try to make amends, my friends. This is the will of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, when we are peacemakers, the Bible says we should be called the children of God. Now, what's that mean? Does that mean if you make peace that you're earning your way to heaven? No, because we know salvation is not by works, right? Then what's it mean? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Here's what came out in my study, and I agree with it. What seems to be brought out here is that when other people see somebody willing to step in and not ag it on, but put a stop to it and make peace with people, it's like they look back and say, that's like God. In other words, you're showing whose you are by how you act like him when you seek peace. For instance, some people tell my boy, you look just like your daddy. And I'll tell him, I'll say then he's got a chance in this life at that point right there. You know what I'm saying? But what I mean by that is he's carrying some of my character traits. Now, one character trait he does not have is my shortness, because it's not going to be long before I'm going to say, now, son, you get down here so I can talk to you. He's taking either after my Uncle Jamie or he's taking after Becky's side of the family, all these kind of things. She's listening live. Jalen's at home sick. But I'm going to tell you what to tell my wife when you see her, okay? Tell her that she's taller than me, okay? She's not, but that just destroys her. You know what I'm thinking? Thinking that she has to look down on her husband. So I'm just throwing it out just in case she went to the restroom right now and she's not listening. All this kind of, I'm kidding with you here, okay, folks? I'm kidding. Take a deep breath. I'm joking. All right. Now, I know what you're saying. You're talking about making peace, and good night, you got a battle at home. I'm kidding with you now. I know that. How many of y'all were thinking that? Would you raise your hand? You were thinking that? Sure you were. I'm kidding. All right. 1 Corinthians 14:33. What was I saying? I was saying this. Judson is, he looks like me in certain areas. Because he's got my blood running through his veins. And he's got certain part of my character traits are in him. People can tell by looking at him, he's Jody's boy. This is the idea here. Jesus is saying, when people see you making peace, it reminds them of who he is. That's what he does. That's what he's done with you. This is what he's saying. 1 Corinthians 14:33, the Bible says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Romans 15:33, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. 2 Corinthians 13:11, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Psalm 34:14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Number 7, beatitude, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who help people make peace with God, who share the gospel around the world. Blessed are those on top of that, that when brothers or sisters are at enmity with one another, they step in and say, stop this. This is not right. And instead of getting up and agging it on and spreading it and spewing out the mouth, they are trying to make peace among man and man, woman and woman, husband and wife, brother and sister, name it. Because he said, for they shall be called the children of God. Then the last beatitude. Now it's interesting, when you come to the last beatitude, that every beatitude has had one verse. But this last one has more than one. Matter of fact, we pick it up in verse number 10. Blessed are those which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So the last beatitude that we're talking about here is the beatitude of being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, it's important that we understand that this world never has and never will be a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in these verses, we see the Lord Jesus saying, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now we know, like I've already said in this message, that the Lord Jesus is our righteousness. We see that in Jeremiah 23:6 and then in 2 Corinthians 5:21. Therefore, we see that we are blessed when we suffer persecution for Christ's sake. He is righteousness. So blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Our righteousness is Christ, which means that blessed are we when we are persecuted for being like him. When we are persecuted for being like our righteousness, then we are blessed. And the Bible says, be joyful and exceeding glad. Now stay with me here. John 15, 18 to 20 says this. Jesus said, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. John 17, 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now, a man said this, the wicked hate the holy image of God and those that bear it. The wicked hates God and anybody who reminds them of him. And Jesus is saying, blessed are you when you remind this world of me and they persecute you for it. Now the devil and the world have persecuted God's people who are not ashamed to be identified with their Lord. It comes in the form of bodily harm. That comes from the word persecute. There are Christians around the world who are suffering bodily harm for the cause of Jesus Christ. But then it doesn't stop there. It can also come in verbal abuse. We get that from the word revile, when they shall revile you. It means to verbally abuse you. They may not strike your body with their hands, but they'll wear you out with their words. Then he says, and say all manner of evil against you, that's slander. In other words, look at this now. Blessed are they which are persecuted for Christ's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall verbally abuse you and hurt you and lie about you. Now that's what he said, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. They're lying, they're lying about you. Now folks, Stephen was stoned. Moses was resented. David was attacked. Elijah was threatened. Jeremiah was beaten and put in stocks. John the Baptist was imprisoned and beheaded. Paul was beaten, imprisoned, and beheaded. John was exiled. History tells us that Peter was crucified upside down. I'm simply trying to tell you this. Somebody said there are three ways you can tell what a person really is. The fruit he bears, the friends he keeps, and the foes he has. Now think about that. There are three ways to tell what kind of a person you really are, the fruit you bear. Secondly, the friends you keep, who you hang around. Thirdly, the foes you have. If this world is in love with you, you are lost. Amen. If this world loves you and bows down to your name, Jesus said it hated me and it'll hate you who are identified with me. Now I'm telling you here, I wonder, are you willing to be persecuted for righteousness' sake? Are you willing for the world to hate you when the Lord Jesus Christ is living through you? A man put it this way, a true saint carries Christ in his heart and the cross on his shoulders. See, American Christianity wants Christ but wants nothing to do with the cross. I'm talking about denying self, taking up our cross and following after him. I'm talking about American Christianity. Basically, it wants Christ and all the benefits, but wants nothing to do with bearing a cross daily. See, a lot of people think they're bearing a cross when they have a cold. When there are people around the world today who are in prison, away from their families, being starved to death, being persecuted, and even killed. And we in America sit back and think, boy, we don't have air conditioning today. What persecution I must endure. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth. That's the truth. Americans today think that they're persecuted when they don't have padded seats. Amen. You know what I think would be interesting? Now, I probably won't do this, but you know what I think would be interesting? Maybe to have a service every now and then, and I might do this. Maybe just to have a service and convert back to what some of our fellow Christians, I got this in this book, Brother Gary, I think it's a great idea. To have a service just to let us know what some of our fellow Christians are suffering around the world. Now, I'm not talking about persecution. I'm talking about no lights. I'm talking about underground with the threat of somebody coming in and taking over the service and taking the pastor out and beating him and possibly even stoning him or killing him. We don't know anything about that. Now, before I go further, I don't want you to think that I'm asking God to send persecution to Buffalo Ridge. I'm not asking God for that. But all I'm asking is this. If it comes, are you willing to take it? How much did it really cost you to come to church tonight? If you knew when you came tonight that there was a threat that the American government would bust in these back doors and take every one of us to prison for a year, 2 years, and maybe never see your family again, would you come? Don't shake your head yes or no, because really, to be honest with you, none of us know the answer to that. Because we've not been put in that situation, my friends. But some of our Christian brothers and sisters around the world, they're put through that every week of their life. You know what I'm saying? God's not going to compare. Excuse me. We shouldn't compare, but I'm not even going to be able to see the back of those people's heads at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm simply trying to ask you, are you willing to carry the cross? I might be speaking to some teenagers. I know I'm speaking to some, but I'm saying I might be speaking to some like this. They don't mind coming to church, but when it comes to handing the gospel tract out to their friend at school, oh, I'm not going to do that. Why? They may laugh at me. I might not be popular anymore. You listening to me? If you're out to be popular, you got problems. Because Jesus said in the book of 1 John, friendship of the world is enmity with God. I'm simply trying to say the Lord Jesus Christ said when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake that we are to rejoice and be exceeding glad because our reward in heaven is great. Now you say, what's that mean? I don't really know. But it sounds pretty good. And I'm saying this, when persecution comes, we are not to react. We are to rejoice. There's a big difference. These words carry the idea of jumping up and down in excitement. As a matter of fact, don't turn to it. But in the book of Luke, speaking here about the Beatitudes, here's what Luke says. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. In other words, blessed are you when they don't want to have anything to do with you. They don't want nothing to do with you because of Christ. Listen to verse 23. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. That's what Luke says, if it happens that because you're taking a stand for Christ, if they don't want to do anything with you, separate from you, they don't want anything to do with you, and they revile you, and they hate you, and they persecute you, Luke says, jump up in the air and rejoice about it. That's what he's saying. He says, because your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm not asking God for persecution. But I trust in my heart that I'm willing to take it. I hope you can say the same thing. I'm not anybody thinks I'm uplifting myself, you don't know me very well. I'm saying I'm not trusting flesh, but I trust that I would submit to the Lord at that time. Understanding that there's a better day coming. Now, this being the case, let me give you some thoughts here. There's a man that said that this joy, leap for joy, it's a joy that words cannot express, and which has in it a hint of the glories of heaven. 1 Peter 4:16 says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Romans 8:17 and 18, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 2 Corinthians 4, 8-18, and listen to this. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is what Jesus is saying. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. He said, in that day, if it's because of me, leap for joy. Be excited, because that you cannot see is as sure as the things that you do see. He's saying what you see now, that affliction, you hear it, you feel it, it's just temporary. But where you're going is eternal. This is what he's saying. Acts 5:41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. There's that little chorus that heaven will surely be worth it all. Worth all the sorrow we here endure. After this life with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. My friends, if you live for Jesus, you may not be killed, but you will suffer persecution. Because the Bible tells us now, folks, listen, Luke 6:26, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. 2 Timothy 3:2, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now understand, persecution comes in different forms: reviling, verbal abuse, lying about you, in a lot of cases, bodily harm and all these kind of things. We don't know much about that here, but around the world that's taking place. John 16:33, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, Jesus said. Now, I'm just about done. I got a half a sheet of notes here. Okay, so hang in there with me now, folks, okay? There was a man, and he put it this way. He said, if you want to get along, the formula is simple. That means in the world. In other words, if you want to get along in this world, he said, here's the formula. Approve the world's morals and ethics, at least outwardly. Live like the world lives. Laugh at its humor. Immerse yourself in its entertainment. Smile when God is mocked. Act as if all religions converge on the same road. Don't mention hell. Draw no moral judgments. Take no stand on moral issues. And above all, don't preach the gospel to anybody. Now I'm telling you, if you want to be a friend of the world, you can be. But if you're a friend of the world, you're the enemy of God. That's what the Bible says. There's a story about a Romanian pastor. I don't tell stories like this often, but I just feel like this is something that we just need to be aware of. He knew what it was to rejoice and have joy in his persecution. This Romanian pastor was tortured. He was imprisoned. And mercilessly, they put him through excruciating pain. Yet while he was in his cell, where he was in all that degradation and inhumanity, he testified that he experienced such joy. He was locked in solitary confinement. Now listen to this. And day by day, excuse me now, he was summoned by his captors, excuse me, but they would cut chunks of flesh out of his body. In other words, they'd send him to this solitary confinement, beat him mercifully, torture him. Every day they'd call him and cut a chunk out of his body and send him back. Then when he returned to his cell, he was starved almost to death. They wouldn't give him any food hardly. He would lie there and he would pray to his God. I don't know about you, it's just making me feel this big right now. Now just listen to this. He testified in the midst of that awful time that there were times when the joy of Christ would so overcome him that he would pull himself up and shuffle about the cell in a holy dance, he said. So remarkable was his joy that on his return from prison, somehow he got out, and when he got home to his wife and his children, you know what the first thing he did was? He had a day of fasting. Now, they'd been starving him to death. He had a day of fasting as a memorial to the joy that he experienced during his persecution. Shame on us when we think we've suffered for Jesus. I'm simply asking you a question tonight. How great is your reward in heaven based on persecution? Now, I'm not saying you go out and look for it. Well, somebody beats the fire out of me tonight, so my reward in heaven's great. That's not what I'm talking about. A lot of times it's an attitude. But Jesus said, the world is going to hate you because it hates me. They'll lie about you. They will verbally abuse you. And sometimes they'll beat you and even kill you. But he said, if that happens to you, let me give you my advice. Go over here and have you a holy fit. Start jumping up and down, shouting glory to God, because what you cannot see is going to be worth it all. That's what he's talking about. Now, as we come to a close, in these first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 5, we see the Lord Jesus Christ giving the Beatitudes to us for our instruction and encouragement. In a nutshell, here's what he's saying. Don't live for here. Live for there. That being the case, I give you this illustration. I'm coming to a close. John D. Rockefeller died. And every paper in the United States of America was speculating how much he was worth. For one reporter, it got too much for him. And he ran and he organized a meeting with one of Rockefeller's aides. And he came to him, and when he got into the room with this man and he thought he was going to find out, he said, how much did Rockefeller leave? The man looked at him and soberly and calmly said, he left it all. Jesus is saying, don't leave it behind. Send it ahead. This is the Beatitudes. I'm kind of sad it's over, because I've got a blessing through them, honestly. And what a challenge it is. May the Lord add his blessing to this. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. Help us to strive to be more like you. Help us to trust you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play softly as soon as they can. When they get prepared there. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? You might be listening live, or you may be here in the auditorium, and in your heart you're not sure that heaven is your home. May I encourage you that the only thing standing between you and Bible salvation is understanding that you have sinned before God. And because of your sin, you do not deserve heaven. But Jesus came and died on the cross for our sin, was buried and rose again. If you'll repent of your sin and turn to Christ and ask him to come into your heart and forgive you, he's promised to forgive you, and I trust you'll do that tonight. If you're listening live, I'd like to invite you to do that in the privacy of wherever you're at now. Or if you're in this auditorium, you come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Tonight, as we come to a close on these Beatitudes, there's so many things we can say, but I just want to dwell on the last two, since that's what I preached here tonight. Are you a peacemaker? Are you sharing with others how they can have peace with God? Or maybe there's a situation in your family or something where it's turmoil and strife, and God's speaking to you. Instead of talking about it, instead of stirring it up, He wants you maybe to step in and be willing to try to make peace. And I trust in this church that the folks here on Wednesday night are mature enough to understand that if you ever hear dissension starting in this church, that you'll nip it right there. On top of that, I wonder, what about your persecution for Jesus? You know what I feel led to do tonight? I feel led to have an altar call for our brothers and sisters scattered around the world. They don't know anything about American Christianity. All they know is they're living in underground churches. They go to church undercover. Their pastor's faithfully preaching the word, but they know at any moment that somebody could break in the back door and take them to prison and take them away from their families and maybe even take their life. So right now, maybe there's several of you that say, Jody, I want to come pray for them. Why don't you get up out of your seat right now and come pray for your brothers and sisters around the world. Stand up now and come. You say, Jody, I want to pray for them. I want to talk to Jesus for my sisters and my brothers scattered around the world. Different parts of the world who are being persecuted. Oh, their reward is great in heaven. Their reward is great in heaven. We may never see them here. We'll meet them there. All I know is that there's God's children scattered around the world. Many of them are paying a great, great price to be identified with Jesus. Or maybe you want to come and say, God, help me be a peacemaker. Help me be a peacemaker. Help me be willing to take persecution if it gets to that. I'll be honest, I hope it doesn't, but if it does, we need to be willing. Amen. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If God is speaking to your heart about coming praying for one of your brothers or sisters scattered around the world, or being a peacemaker, or standing firm in that persecution at school, or being willing to take persecution, whatever, then I want you to leave your place and come. Many have already responded. Maybe you want to respond. Brother Gary sings, you leave your place and come.
Oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear.
Sing it if you know it.
Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
They're playing through softly. I'm going to lead us in prayer. I want us all to think about being peacemakers, sharing the gospel, trying to make peace with man and man, man and God. On top of that, I want you to ask the Lord, if you feel led, to help you be willing to take persecution if it comes to that. And I want to pray specifically tonight for our brothers and sisters around the world who are paying a dear price. Their reward is great. We need to pray for them. So let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the sweet spirit here this evening. Thank you for your word that speaks to our hearts. Thank you for these beatitudes. I pray that you help us all to be peacemakers, understanding that we who are saved have had peace with God provided for us through the shed blood of Christ. And you want to make peace with a world that's lost and dying without you. Help us to share this good news. On top of that, help those who know people who are at odds with one another to do their part in trying to make peace. Maybe they even need to make peace with somebody themselves. Then, Lord, I pray that you help us all, myself included, to be willing, even if it never comes, just to be willing to suffer persecution for your sake. Lord, we're reminded tonight, and I believe this is the Holy Spirit of God reminding me of our brothers and sisters who around the world as I speak, some of them are suffering persecution now. Some of them may even be going to an underground service as we speak. Lord, you know all about them. We lift them up to you. We ask that you bless them. We ask that you protect them. And we ask that you help their families. Give them grace and strength and passion for thee. We stand in awe of them as they're willing to suffer for righteousness' sake. Give them the strength to leap and jump for joy and be exceeding grateful, we pray. We love you now. Guide our thoughts in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you all. Most of you. No, I'm kidding with you. I love you. Tell somebody about Jesus before Sunday. Will you do that? Try to make peace before Sunday. And we'll see you on Sunday, God willing. Thank you. You're dismissed.